Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Film Chat. Today we're talking about American Fiction, which is nominated for a bunch of Oscars, which is exciting. We are on Instagram if you want to check us out. We're at Waveframe Pod. And also, if you want to check out some of my art, we're at ip.devore. And enjoy this episode. We are now doing it every Monday morning instead of every Friday morning. And this is technically part two of part one, which was last week. So if you haven't checked that out, check it out. Enjoy!
I know you.
Do you want to talk about American Fiction?
Yeah.
So we just saw this 2 days ago, yesterday?
Yesterday.
Yeah. Feels like a long
matinee.
Time. Yeah, a matinee movie. And American Fiction, it's starring Jeffrey Wright. And it's got some people who are familiar faces to me, but I don't know their names. I do know Sterling K. Brown, mm-hmm. who is in... I know him from Marvelous Mrs. Maisel and from this movie called Biosphere. But it's a movie about an author who's kind of down on his luck financially.
And familially.
Yeah, and familially.
Yeah, he's got family stuff.
How much are we not going to spoil? Like, should we give away the inciting incident?
No.
No.
Okay, I don't think we should. Yeah.
Sounds good. Yep. What's his name?
Cord Jefferson. Yeah.
Great. And how was the interview?
Really good. It was the New Yorker Radio Hour.
Oh, great.
Interviewing him. And it's just like, yeah, really fascinating to hear how... He part of the reason he made this movie, so it's based on a book called Erasure,
mm-hmm.
and he is the director, related a lot to the main character Monk.
Oh, nice.
And really sort of like became fascinated with that character, and so wanted to make it. But I think it would be helpful to give like a basic overview of the movie.
Yeah.
Without spoiling things.
Go ahead.
Oh.
Oh, do you want me to do it?
Oh, me?
Yeah. Me?
I can try.
I want to hear you try. Because I don't want to accidentally spoil it, but let's see how you do.
Yeah. So the main character, Monk, is an author, and there's sort of two things. There's his family drama, which mm-hmm. they're trying to deal with, and he ends up going home to take care of his mother and dealing with his brother and all of these different things, mm-hmm. And a new relationship emerges. So it's sort of like his family life and drama. And then there's this other main part where he's an author trying to get a book published, but he's having a really hard time getting his books published because people keep essentially saying they're not black enough.
Yeah.
And so he comes up with a pseudonym and writes a book that is just like very stereotypical black gangster, mm-hmm. like... uses that type of language and things
all
like that.
All of the tropes and the cliches.
Yes, yeah. All the tropes and the cliches. And he does it as a joke to sort of throw it in the face of these publishers.
Yes.
But then it becomes really popular,
mm-hmm.
and he sort of has to choose if he's going to lean into that and take the money, despite it sort of being an ethical dilemma.
And he feels like he needs the money. He kind of needs the money.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or if he's going to not do that.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, that would be my
I think that's a great summary.
Yeah, didn't give anything away.
No, I think you're good. And I will say, if you're listening to this and you have not seen the trailer, I would recommend against watching the trailer. Because for me, when I watched the trailer, first of all, it gave away some of the jokes. But more importantly, I think it made me expect a different tone. I thought this was just going to be like a straight up comedy,
mm-hmm.
but this is like a really funny movie, but it's mostly a drama.
I would say. I think like to get into it, like the thing I liked about it was it did so many things really well. Like it was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like I laughed harder in a movie theater at this movie than I did other things. Like there's the scene where they're spreading ashes.
Yes, on the beach. That's one of the best scenes.
Yeah, and this guy walks by, and while spreading the ashes, they start just like shouting this guy down because the guy's like, "You can't spread ashes here. This is a public beach."
Yes.
And they start like actively threatening this man and shouting him down while still spreading ashes. And it was so funny.
And they like know the guy. They're like,
yeah,
calling him Philip.
Yeah.
You know, and, which
Get
makes
out
it
of
even,
here, Philip.
Yeah, exactly. And it also was such a great moment because it showed their family dynamic. Mm-hmm. The type of family who they kind of bond through shit talking.
Yeah. And like shared anger. Almost.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Which is a huge point of the plot.
Well, and I love that type of irreverent humor, mm-hmm. where it's like, it was this like big moment, like just before that moment, I was on the verge of tears, mm-hmm. because it is like immensely sad moment.
Yeah, and the actors are selling it.
Yeah, they're doing it so well.
Yeah,
and then like, it's why I like sad songs with happy background music.
Yes, like, yes.
That's my favorite style.
It was very much like this. Confused why I would listen to songs that sounded happy that had such sad lyrics.
Yes, like dark. So yeah. I like loved that. So and there's like tons of hilarious moments. Uh-huh. But then also, yeah, you get those like, there were multiple moments where I'm like tearing up, mm-hmm. And really like feeling the depth of the movie. Mm-hmm. And then also I think it did one of my favorite things that a movie can do, which is like deal with heavy topics.
Yeah.
Without becoming dualistic or like didactic, to use
didactic.
A big word. I'm stealing that actually from the director.
I love it.
Like he was really committed to not being didactic about the creative process and like what stories get told by certain people and things like that. And
that is cool.
Yeah, I loved the way that the movie didn't really take a side on the debate. Like you see Monk's side of like, he doesn't want the Black American experience to get boiled down to this oversimplified way.
Totally.
But then there are other characters who take the side of like, yeah, and also these stories matter too.
Yeah.
Like this type of suffering matters too. Uh-huh. And it's okay to tell those stories as well.
Yeah.
And I really liked that the movie doesn't really take a side in that way.
We talked off air right before this, and mm-hmm. we said that we should acknowledge that we're two white guys talking about a Black movie.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. But also, I think, like, I got a lot from this movie. I think it's for everybody.
Yeah.
And it's funny to hear people, characters in the movie say things that I'm like, okay, because of the way they said it, it's funny and I'm laughing at them. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, there's a few white characters who would say things like, it's important to listen to Black voices right now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And like that, coming from the right place, is a good thing to say and feel.
Yeah.
But coming from the wrong place, that's right. Problematic.
Yeah.
And there's a character who makes movies, or at least produces movies, played by Adam Brody from the OC.
Oh,
and
yeah.
he says, like, oh, there's so much pathos in this. And I felt a lot of shame because I was thinking in my head, this movie has a lot of pathos before he said it. And
yeah.
I was like, no,
yeah.
this
yeah.
is calling me out. In a good way, in a great way.
Yeah. Well, and I like to talk about that scene you're talking about where the white woman goes, it's really important to listen to Black voices.
Yeah.
Like what makes that funny is they very much set up the scene so there are three white people on one side
yep.
of the table, two Black people
yep.
on the other side, and they're disagreeing with the Black, they're
yes.
not listening to the Black
yes.
voices.
Yes.
and it's just this really like it's subtly on the nose, like they did it so right.
Yeah.
And I in that interview with Court Jefferson, the director, he talks about how, he says racism is ripe for comedy right now, and not in this way that, like, suffering and injustice are funny, but in that, like, we're trying to figure this thing out. Like, we're in a cultural moment where we, like, we're trying to make it work. And there was, I caught so much of myself of just, like, not knowing how to say it, and it ends up being funny because I just end up like stumbling over myself and
uh-huh.
like, you know, yeah, yeah, I end up just barking up the wrong tree and saying something stupid. And like, white people trying to figure out how to not be racist
yes,
is funny.
It is really funny.
Like, our coworker Alexis is really good at this, actually. Like,
yes.
she loves sort of like poking that particular bear.
Yes.
like,
Just she'll love that you gave her a shout out.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Alexis for like making me the perfect amount of uncomfortable with how white I am.
Yes. Like, yeah. Yes. Oh man. I thought that the fact that the actors were so good sold this movie for me.
Yeah.
And I really loved the fact that their family was believable, and his work life felt pretty believable, and the tone could be dramatic and funny, but it didn't feel like fully realistic, and I was okay with that. Like there were some moments where like his coworker would say something like, I wrote 3 books in the span of like the time since you last wrote your book. And to me, I was like, I didn't think like a coworker would actually say that to him.
That
kind of inflammatory response. But, you know, it's a movie, so I'm okay with that. Where I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on would be like the pacing of this movie. It felt like the pacing was a little bit, and maybe this is just because I had expectations of like a comedy that would kind of clip along, but it felt like they really let the pacing settle in sometimes, and I would have taken like 15 to 20 seconds off of like every scene maybe, which isn't horrible or egregious, but it made me think like, oh, would this movie have flowed better if, I don't know, if it was a little bit...
Yeah, snappier. You
know, snappier, yeah.
I didn't feel that.
Great.
Yeah, I felt like it was done really... And I felt like anytime it was starting to, like, slip into some monotony, like, that was when they used humor really well.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like the humor would sort of, like, interrupt any sort of slow moment and sort of, like, speed it up in that way. And I really liked it. I think the only thing I would maybe do differently would be the ending.
Yeah.
And
part of our podcast is rewriting the ending. And this movie literally did that like 3 or 4 times.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which it felt a little out of place because I'm not ruining anything here, but like very suddenly the movie gets really meta.
Yes.
Like it gets really meta really fast.
Yeah.
And I think in my opinion, if you're going to do meta, it should be done throughout.
I agree.
And it felt jarring.
Yeah.
To do it just at the end. And I know that was like a shout out to the book. Apparently the book Erasure is very meta.
Okay.
And so the director was trying... That helps me
see it differently.
Yeah. The director is trying to maintain this like part of the book that's very meta. And so I can understand that. But it felt very out of left field and sort of took me out of it a little bit.
I agree.
But other than... I mean, I still liked, you know, the way they wrapped it up in the end was really good.
Yeah.
But I think the sort of like alternate endings piece that they did
was
a little clunky. Yeah.
I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, like I'm so glad I saw the movie, and the actual ending had one of the most powerful images of the whole movie for me, which was a black actor dressed up presumably in the like South in maybe what?
He was going to be in a slave movie.
He was in maybe a movie like 12 Years a Slave or something like that.
Yeah.
And he's got like AirPods in and he's like on his phone and then like throws up a little like hello like peace sign.
Yeah.
And I was like, that juxtaposition of like a dude in AirPods in like a slave outfit is hilarious. And then you get to see Jeffrey Wright's
Jeff Bridges.
Yeah. you get to see his reaction to that, which is kind of like the movie's thesis all in like one little interaction.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it ends in a good way. It just takes a weird clunkiness to get there.
Yeah. It takes sort of a weird turn to get there.
Yeah.
But it's him like trying to get out of, like he essentially creates this lie.
Yeah.
And a lot of the movie is him wrestling with like, you know, should I live this lie of being, you know, being myself or living into this caricature that makes a lot of money. And I don't know that the movie ever really answers if it's like right or wrong. Like, you know, they have the other author who does it and she's like, why wouldn't I take their money?
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And that's a fair point.
Yes. Like, and I like that she wasn't like a one-dimensional person.
No,
that
yeah.
author who wrote books that Jeffrey Wright didn't approve of.
Yep.
She was like a cool character.
And you can see him wrestling because he likes her.
Yes.
Like he wants to hate her
yeah.
because she like represents
uh-huh.
this person that's telling stories he doesn't agree with.
Yeah.
And he wants to hate her, but then like slowly finds himself agreeing with her more and more.
Uh-huh.
And I know that feeling of like there's this person I want to hate.
Yes.
And I can't.
Totally.
Dang.
Or you like maybe at one point hated something that they made, but you meet them and you're like, wow, now I see it differently. I can't hate you.
Yep.
Like you made it so I can't hate you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Which is really interesting. This movie is so hard to pin down for me because that scene where they're talking, he comes in, he has his like salad after a little awkward interaction. And he's like opening the salad and he's like making a bunch of weird noise and like it's obviously awkward and he's crunching maybe a crouton or something like that. And then they have like a scene that's kind of funny but like not fully funny. And this isn't even a critique. This is just a, like they did a good job of making it so I never knew exactly where a scene was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't allow themselves to be pigeonholed into one thing.
Yeah.
Like this movie, I don't know if it's a drama or a comedy, but it's just maybe like a movie.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I think again, that's what I really enjoyed about it.
Yeah.
Was it like it did a lot of different things mm-hmm. really well. And yeah, it's rare that like I, you know, this is like the quintessential thing to say about movies, but like I laughed,
yeah.
I cried, I had deep thoughts.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, the like the annoying, and did all those things, but it really did.
It
like,
did.
It did all those things.
Yeah. And I was just amazed at how believable Jeffrey Wright made this character, and Sterling K. Brown and his mother. Like I leaned over to Anna, my wife, and I was like, is she playing a believably a character who's going through like this might be a spoiler
mm-hmm.
but Alzheimer's mm-hmm. like is that believable? And Anna was like, oh yeah, super believable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I thought that the writing was pretty good and the acting was pretty like mm-hmm. highest caliber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was yeah. Like Jeffrey Wright was absolutely perfect.
Yes.
For
yes.
the role. Like he nailed yes. it of like just a little bit just kind of like mean
mm-hmm.
and off putting,
mm-hmm.
but also you just like really like him at
you
the same
love him.
Time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he sold the family dynamic really well.
Yeah.
So big recommendation from me.
Same.
And I hope it gets some love at the Oscars, but it's probably not gonna win the best picture. And, you know, that's okay. Like, I'm sure Oppenheimer will, and that was a great movie, too.
Yeah.
So, I actually would be surprised if Oppenheimer didn't win the Best Picture.
Yeah.
That's just kind of what is probably going to happen.
Yeah.
But if you're going through all the movies that were nominated for Best Picture, don't skip over this one. Definitely check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna kind of out myself as an idiot here. Are the Oscars and the Academy Awards the same thing?
Yes, they okay. are the same thing, but
great. I thought it.
It's okay that like, you don't know that.
Here we are
yes.
talking about movies.
Well, it's confusing like, because like the Hollywood Foreign Press, I didn't know what that was for a while, but it's the people who like make the Oscars happen, and that's
okay.
That's who the voters are a part of to in order to vote.
Got it.
But now that's been complicated because I think the Hollywood Foreign Press, it like is a controversial like organization. So now it's called something else and been revamped and yeah. So there's a lot of politics. It's just
yeah.
a popularity contest in a lot of ways.
Yep.
They love their narratives of like rise and falls, and so
yeah.
there could be a chance that because everyone thinks that Oppenheimer is going to win. That's not interesting enough, so the voters will vote for something else.
Yeah.
Because they don't just want the movies to be interesting and dynamic. They want
the
award
show
to be
yeah.
interesting and dynamic.
That's fair.
So it's a real it's a real messy thing. Yeah.
Was it the Oscars where I think it was Moonlight.
Oh yeah.
Won,
yeah.
But they announced La La Land on accident.
100%.
Yeah.
That was the Academy Awards, which is the same thing as the Oscars.
Got it.
Yeah, so that was a weird moment, and it just goes to show and reveal that the Oscars are not run very well.
Yeah. I like that though.
Yeah, it's shoddy. It's weird, yeah.
And you know what? I don't even feel dumb because it's their fault that they call it two things.
Yes,
that
it
are
is.
Very different. It's not like Oscar is in the word Academy Awards.
No, it's not.
You know, those are
Yeah,
no, they're dumb.
They are dumb.
They're dumb.
And that's partly why I love them, just like you were saying. And so come March 10, we should have a little watch party. I'm not saying we should live stream it or anything. I'm saying we should watch it together and then talk about it in the episode afterward.
I'm on board.
I think that'd be fun. But yeah, lastly, any music you're listening to that's like, you know, are you continuing to listen to the music we talked about last time? I haven't had a chance to listen to Something About a Bird.
Bird is Bored of Flying. By Master System.
Yep.
I'm going to plug two things here. Mm-hmm. So when I like get into a certain artist, like I will just listen to them for weeks.
I love it.
Like I just do deep dives.
Yeah.
So I talked about Owl John last time. And I'll plug Owl John again. And there's one song in particular, A Good Reason to Grow Old.
Okay.
Is very good. Just hitting all the right feels. And then I'm going to plug a little bit of comedy, actually.
Please.
I recently, he was on Working It Out, and I re-listened to a couple of his specials, but Gary Gulman.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah, Gary Gulman, yeah. I have been getting into, and he put out a book recently as well called Misfit.
Okay.
That I just like randomly picked up and got me back into a Gary Gulman mode.
He's so kind and fun.
Yeah. And he has one of his more recent specials is called The Great Depression.
Yes.
And it's about.
That's the one I've seen.
Yeah. It's so good.
So I was big. I was big and I was sensitive and soft growing up. And when you were big back then, you were encouraged / harassed into playing sports. And I didn't want to play the footballs, the hockeys, the contact sports. That was not for me. I fell in love with basketball.
He has that great joke about how, like, you knew that. Oh, I hate trying to paraphrase jokes. This is the worst part of my life.
Yeah.
But like, you knew how bad your parents' marriage was by how many free throws you would do in your backyard.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you knew that your mom worked as a lawyer or something. Yeah. Like, that's why he was good at basketball. Yeah. Because you could be depressed and get better at it on your own.
Free throw shooting is a direct function of childhood loneliness. I have this carnival skill. If you tell me you were a good high school free throw shooter, you can give me your high school free throw shooting percentage, and I can tell you what time your single mother got home from work. I shot 94% my senior year. My mother was a night court bailiff.
Yeah.
And I also love how he talks about how he looked like Gaston, but he's from Beauty and the Beast, but he just never was the male archetype that everyone wanted him to be.
Yeah, and he like played college football.
Yeah.
But it actually led to a really really rough period of his life because he just didn't see himself that way.
Yeah.
But he was trying to fit what everybody wanted him to be, which is this like big football player. So.
And the title's a perfect title, The Great Depression.
Yeah, yeah, because that's how he talks. Like, It's
what
so
a lovely,
good.
Lovely man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Gary Gulman. Highly recommend.
I'm really glad you brought him up. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna try to pronounce this after Google pronounces it for me. But this is the band that I've been listening to.
One O Tricks Point Never.
I don't know how to pronounce this.
Winotrix?
Winotrix Point Never, which is a really weird band. This is the album. Okay. And that's how you spell it. Winotrix Point Never.
That's hurting my eyes.
Exactly.
Wow.
And the album's called Magic Winotrix Point Never. It's one of those things where once you say it enough, you can say it again and again. But
yeah.
I needed Google to help me. My friend Nate Mulder Bunce, he is into this album, and I'm trying to get into it. It reminds me a little bit of like some Radiohead albums,
mm-hmm.
only because I have to listen to it like it's an acquired taste.
Mm.
You don't like it on your first time, like whiskey or something.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to get into that more. I've listened to a little bit, but I'm trying to get into it more to be cool.
That's why we're all here.
Exactly. But
how do I be cool?
But I asked my friends Ethan and Nate, like, what are albums that you would listen to twice in a row, where like you're on a road trip, you listen to it fully, and you'd mm-hmm. be 100% fine with just putting it back on from the beginning.
Yeah.
And that was one of them that Nate said. So yeah, that's what I'm listening to. And I think that's a real testament to like how good an album is if you can just listen to it on repeat.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like that's my plug.
Nice.
And he also listens to Alex G, which might be a little bit more approachable.
Yeah.
Well, this was a longer episode, and we're okay with going on rants and being longer of an episode. So if you want to listen, great. Yeah. If you don't, great. We don't care.
Yeah.
But thanks for listening. If you
absolutely.
Are,
absolutely.
Yeah.
You're still here.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Check us out on Instagram at WaveframePod or ip.deboer, and we'll see you next week.
Giddy up.